Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with my brother. His name is Danny Parkins. He is on First Things First on Fox Sports 1. All of that is great, but that's not what he goes by on this show. Park, what's good?
Good afternoon, C-Dot. What's going on, buddy?
I'm just trying to be more like you, Danny. Every time I look up, you're doing these man-on-the-street bits with Knicks fans. You're getting ready for the World Cup. I'm just trying to be more like you, Danny.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's going very well for me. You should.
All right, Danny, there's a lot that I want to get into. Let's start with this, because you and I think, are very similar in this. I'm not the biggest soccer fan. I'm not going to pretend to be the biggest soccer fan. But if you tell me that the best are competing at something and everybody around it seems to get into it, you can catch my attention for a month. I've really enjoyed this World Cup. You know, I found a favorite. I like the team. I've already been to a game. I've been going to the watch parties. Like, this has been a very easy tournament to get into and follow as we're kind of getting through these dog days of the summer.
Yeah, listen, I am a bigger soccer fan than you, but I'm not a big enough fan where I'm waking up, you know, at 7 in the morning and watching EPL games, you know? Like, I don't, it's just, so I think the World Cup is incredible. I love the World Cup every 4 years, but this World Cup has a few things going for it in that it's a U.S. World Cup, and so the games are in prime time and they're on our soil. Like, you know, the World Cup that was in Qatar, the games were airing in the middle of the night. And, you know, sometimes when they air in hot, you know, in a couple, two World Cups from now, when it's in Saudi Arabia, they're probably going to have to push it a little bit with weather, and because it'll be too hot, and it'll air during football season. So, like, this World Cup is in America at venues we know in all these great American cities. We get to interact with these unbelievable fans from all over the world, and they kind of have a cultural exchange, which is one of the best parts of sports. Then you get the big brands, Argentina, Spain, England, you know, the teams that you know, like the crests that you care about advancing, and the star players are performing like it's like they're NBA stars. You know, you go to an NBA game, you watch LeBron James, you have a high degree of confidence that he's going to give you at least 25 that night. You know, it's not like baseball where you could see Ohtani and he can go 0-for-4. Well, in soccer, you know, Messi has had an entire World Cup before where he had zero goals. So has Ronaldo. David Beckham had 3 career goals in the World Cup. Zlatan had 0 career World Cup goals. But in this World Cup, if you would have came into it and said Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, those are the 4 biggest stars in the sport, they have 6, 7, 7, and 8 goals. So the biggest stars are performing, the biggest teams are advancing, the games are in prime time, the games are here in America. So whether you can go to a game or, like you said, watch parties, just interact with people at the game, it's about as easy of a World Cup to consume as we've ever had. And then you add on top of that, as I just keep going here, the U.S. had their most impressive, you know, group stage performance ever in terms of goals scored, and won a knockout round game for the first time since 2002, even though it was around a 32 game and the tournament expanded. Still, like, the U.S. gave you something to root for and get behind also. So it's basically been a perfect start to the tournament.
I listened to your podcast with Bomani, and I agreed with a lot of what you had to say and what he had to say. I feel like the United States hit about as close to their ceiling as they were going to. They dominated their group stage. They were probably in a more favorable group. They were clearly better than Bosnia in the round of 32. They then got to the round of 16. They played a legitimate team from Europe, a team that beat them in February 5-2, and they got their boot smoked. Like, I'm not really sure if you redid this tournament and you started over, I'm not really sure if the U.S. would do much better than what they did. Sure, you're disappointed in how they performed in the game against Belgium, but in terms of expectation and hitting their ceiling, I think they came about as close as they were going to.
I think in retrospect, that is correct, but the goal was at least one more game because of things that you mentioned. Like, now it is 4 straight World Cups that the U.S. has qualified for, where we were eliminated in the round of 16. And of course, one World Cup 2018 we didn't even qualify for. So we made it to the exact same round that we have made it to over the last, you know, literally 20 years since 2002 when we made the quarterfinals. The hope was, with Pochettino as manager and with this golden generation, quote unquote, of U.S. soccer in its athletic prime, that they would take a step forward and have an advantage with, you know, the pot one draw for a host country, the tournament being expanded and all of those things. So how I've talked about it is this was ultimately a disappointment because the hope was they were going to win at least one more game and then have the measuring stick against a team like Spain. Instead, we had the measuring stick against a team like Belgium, a very good team, but not a tier one, you know, contender, not a France, not an Argentina, not a Spain, et cetera, not an England. And we fell way short and had such a terrible performance in that game against Belgium. But where the progress was made was, if you look in the rearview mirror, like if we're they were the 18th best country in the world at soccer, I think the gap between us and eight is still pretty significant. But I think now the gap between us and 40, 50, 60, 70 is also pretty significant. And so we're moving in the right direction, but there's still a pretty huge gap between us and being like a legitimate contender.
Right now, we're talking to Danny Parkins of Fox Sports 1. You can catch him on First Things First. Danny, I realized a lot of similarities between the NBA as I was watching the World Cup. There's a lot of flopping that upsets people. We have replay like we do in the NBA. There was an officiating controversy that ultimately got overturned. And I'm seeing one of their stars get cooked the way that James Harden would get cooked. There's a lot of similarities. Christian Pulisic, for the last 48 hours, he has been absolutely getting barbecued in the media and on social media.
He has been, and the media and social media is one thing, but it's been like Carly Lloyd, Landon Donovan. You know, that's not you or me or Stephen A. or Nick or someone like that, Bomani having a take. Like, that's like, you know, some of the best American soccer players ever, like the people that would be invited to the parties that he would be invited to, the traffic in the same circles that have worn the same crest across their chest. So I think with Pulisic, that criticism from those people who matter clearly was not because of one game against Belgium. It is a totality of things, whether it's the aloofness, whether it's not being terribly media friendly, whether it is the consistent nagging injuries. And I know the report came out now that there's a micro fracture and he would be out weeks and he would have missed the quarterfinal game. I will take them at their word that it's true, but it also is pretty convenient damage control and spin when he himself right after the game said it was a sprained ankle. Like, so this is new information. Like, if they would have said he broke his leg during the broadcast, I don't think the criticism would have been as high. He himself said that it was a sprained ankle, and I think that led to a lot of the frustration when Landon Donovan said they would have literally needed to amputate his leg for him to come off of the field. But he also, in GQ ahead of this tournament, said it's just another tournament, and he kind of approached it nonchalantly. When Mauricio Pochettino asked for his participation in the Gold Cup tournament leading up to it, he said no, that he wanted to rest after his season with Milan to be in the best form possible for the World Cup. He got a ton of criticism of that from former U.S. players and the current U.S. infrastructure, including his coach. So I don't think this criticism is because of one injury and one bad game and one bad tournament. I think it's clearly been building for a number of years with Pulisic, and where he goes from here, you know, by the next World Cup, he'll be 31. And we know Messi is 38, but we can't hold him to the standard of one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, to keep dominating. Like, it's very, very likely that Christian Pulisic's Team USA peak is behind him by the time the next World Cup comes around.
Danny, you'll appreciate this story. My sister got into the Royals run because of Alex Gordon. You know, she's into the Chiefs run because of Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen my sister sit and watch soccer more intensely than she did watching Norway a couple of days ago because of Erling Haaland. She was oohing and aahing and gawking over him. She wanted to watch his YouTube highlights afterward to see other goals that he met. I've never seen her act like this before.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, I mean, listen, it's one thing, you know, your little sister has an athlete crush. I understand. That's one thing. How about I'm watching that game, the Norway-Brazil game. Steph, my beautiful bride, the mother of my two children, she's been kind of watching, but not really. You know, she's on Instagram. She's doing her thing. She sometimes goes upstairs when I'm watching the game. She's not a huge sports fan like that. When he scored that goal, the second one, and he turned and didn't even celebrate, and he just lifted up his shirt, and his teammate jumped onto his back, and he didn't even flinch. My wife made sounds that I've never heard her make. That's a disturbing thought. I was like, oof, okay, I'm sorry. He is everything that I am not, and I can leave the room here for a minute. She was smitten with that Viking hero. It was not great for me and my confidence.
Danny, we got to start rooting for England then. I mean, I don't want to root for England because I like Erling Haaland. We got to start rooting for England now.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, listen, obviously Harry Kane is, like, rich and famous and really talented, but I can at least, like, she's not oohing and ahhing when Harry Kane's picture comes on TV. Like, he kind of looks like me, you know what I mean? Like Erling Haaland is a different sort of figure. And so, yeah, I've actually, you know, she can do whatever she wants, but I've banned Norway viewing on her TV for sure.
I think you're making the right decision. I got to ask you one NBA question before I get you out of here. How much LeBron have you guys been doing? I feel like that's the soap opera that's taking over the league. There's only four realistic options to me. It's either going back home to Cleveland or Miami. It's joining the 76ers or teaming up with Steph in Golden State. At this point, I would be surprised if he went somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. The odds makers would too. Shams's reporting suggests that there's three favorites, and he didn't even include Golden State in that list now that they're not going to get Anthony Davis. So, like, I agree with you. We're doing a ton of LeBron, but we're doing a ton of LeBron for totally justified reasons. His agent hosted a podcast with a whiteboard where he wrote 10 teams on it and invited the debate and discussion about LeBron's fit in all of those 10 teams. And so while I think he is going to Cleveland, and I personally want him to go to Cleveland, no one really cares what I think or want. What I would say is when Rich Paul put up that board, it showed that LeBron is willing to play for the minimum. Like, if he's considering Denver and Boston and San Antonio and Minnesota, like, we do have to be at least open to the possibility of anything. And, like, if LeBron really just wants a fifth ring, he should go to the Spurs. Like, if the fifth ring is the biggest priority, he should go to the Spurs. I think he's going to go east. I think he's going to go to Cleveland. I think most of the tea leaves are pointing in that direction. But if he wants just one more ring and Wemby's going to be a figure for the next 15 years, 20 years in the NBA, and he can reference back, well, you know, LeBron taught me how to win and LeBron helped me get my first, that'll make LeBron's name ring out 20 years from now. So I'm with you with that list that you mentioned, but the Rich Paul podcast makes me at least think anything's possible.
Danny, man, it's great talking to you, man. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.